Good Shepherd Sunday is where we are. Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. And in 1 John, this is how we know love. That Jesus laid down his life for us. Laying down our life, this self-giving love, is it the very nature of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. In fact, it is the definition of the good, of love, that we lay down our life for one another. And that Jesus expects us to do the same, calls us to do the same. Now, that sounds really drastic and really dramatic about it, but if we think about it just in terms of how do we treat one another, and how do we lay aside that which we want in order to enhance what other people need? In 1 John, he says, how can you say you love someone when you have earthly goods and someone is in need and you don't give it to them? It's just simply, like, it's not in the nature of Jesus to do such a thing. So the Spirit of Jesus, which is in us, compels us, evokes us towards love for one another. Now, the Good Shepherd, Jesus, is calling us to that, giving us His Spirit for that. And what I thought I would talk about a little bit today is this idea that Jesus calls Himself the Good Shepherd. Why didn't He just say, I am the shepherd? Right? Well, because there are other people who are applying to the job of being our shepherd. There are people who want to lead us, who want to take us in directions that they want us to go. Are there not? In so many ways, we have that. But this whole tradition of being the shepherd, it's way before Jesus. Jesus picks it up actually from Ezekiel. I'm going to read a little piece of Ezekiel for you. It says, the word of the Lord came to me. This is Ezekiel the prophet saying, mortal, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Those are the kings, the priests, all of the folks who are supposed to be leading the people of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, to the shepherds, thus says the Lord, woe to shepherds of Israel who have been feeding themselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fatted calf, but you do not feed the sheep. You have not strengthened the weak, you have not healed the sick, you have not bound up the injured, you have not brought back the strays, you have not sought out the lost, but with force and harshness you have ruled over them instead. What an indictment. Jesus knows these scriptures. I mean, I don't know. I think he kind of felt like Ezekiel's one of his favorite prophets. Right here. But then, thus says the Lord, I myself will search for my sheep. I will sort them out. I myself will be the shepherd for my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak. This is where Jesus gets the good shepherd. This is the one who is going to seek out the lost. This is the one who's going to lay down his life for the sheep. So, in this world where there are so many people vying for the job of being our shepherd, it seems to me really important that we hone in on Jesus being the good shepherd. How do we keep our minds and our hearts focused on the good shepherd and what God is calling us to? Now, here's another thing I have to read to you. Sorry for all the reading, but I think it's just really rich. Okay. This is part of a prayer. It's about, 13 pages long. It's called the Agathist of Thanksgiving. And in this Agathist of Thanksgiving, the writer just gives all kinds of thanks. Glory to God for all manner of things. and you can, it's beautiful. You sing it, you chant it, and it just goes on forever. And I'll tell you, this is actually the prayer that got me through the pandemic. Coming into this church and singing this. I'm going to read one piece of it to you. When you inspire me to serve my neighbor and make humility shine in my soul, think about the Good Shepherd calling us to love, right? And serving our neighbor. And make humility shine in my soul, one of your deep, piercing rays of light falls into my heart. It then becomes glowing like iron in the furnace. I have seen your face, mysterious and elusive. And then this. Glory to you, transfiguring our lives with deeds of love. Glory to you, making wonderfully sweet each one of your commandments. Glory to you, clearly present in fragrant compassion. Glory to you, sending us failures and afflictions to make us sensitive to other people's sufferings. Hear that. Glory to you, promising high reward for precious good deeds. Glory to you, welcoming the impulse of our heart's love. Glory to you for raising love above everything on earth or in heaven. Glory to you, O God, from age to age. Imagine. Now, it's stunning in and of itself. It's even more stunning to realize that this prayer, this whole Agathis of Thanksgiving, was found in a Russian death camp, a gulag, where the old and the good didn't survive. Elie Wiesel says German concentration camps, the best among us didn't survive because they were too willing to give away their little morsel of food, too willing to help somebody else. Stunning. This prayer found in such a place as that, where, one more reading, a snippet from one of the gulags by V.T. Shalimov, who survived. Each time they brought in the soup, you would get fed based on how much you produced. The gulags were mostly just camps for enslaved labor, and you had to account for how much labor you gave, and then you got that much soup. It made all of us want to cry each time they brought in the soup. We were ready to cry for fear that the soup would be so thin. And when a miracle occurred and the soup was thick, we couldn't believe it and ate it as slowly as possible. But even with thick soup and a warm stomach, there remained a sucking pain. We've been hungry for so long. All human emotions, love, friendship, concern for one's fellow man, compassion, longing for fame, honesty, had all left us with the flesh that had melted from our bones. In the face of that, the Good Shepherd gave us this beautiful, beautiful prayer. Glory to God. Glory to God. Even though there were other shepherds, the commandant of the gulag, the armed guards of the gulag, all of those people wanting you to do what they wanted you to do and to break your spirit and to feed upon you, somebody was praying this prayer. In the midst of that. Stunning, isn't it? If someone, and it had to be that. That was the way in which the Good Shepherd showed up and took care of his flock. And it is the way that God continues to show up among us. We live in a world that is not like a gulag. But as we've already stated, it is a world in which there are a lot of people who want to be our shepherd. And in our world right now, there is a lot of folks who want to take us in a direction that the Good Shepherd would not have us go. Feeding on fear,
feeding on hate, encouraging violence, encouraging compulsion towards one religion or another, towards Christianity, as if Jesus would ever compel us to follow him, but rather invites us. We too must concentrate on what is the Good Shepherd saying in the midst of all of this. There's a lot of voices, and we must discern. Who is the shepherd that we are following? So,
I have heard shepherds calling us to fear and to hostility. The Good Shepherd transfigures our lives with deeds of love. I have heard shepherds say that they want us to obey their word as if it were law. The Good Shepherd draws us by making sweet all of his commandments. I have heard shepherds say that there must be cruelty against those who are not from here, who are not like us. The Good Shepherd is clearly present in fragrant compassion. Some shepherds tell us that we need not suffer, that we can give our suffering to others. Let them suffer for us. This is the very definition of violence, by the way. To hoist the things that we are to suffer onto someone else. The Good Shepherd sends us failures and afflictions to make us sensitive to other people's sufferings, and in that way, to love our neighbor. Some shepherds offer high reward for the loyalty to them. The Good Shepherd offers high reward for precious good deeds done for our neighbor. Some shepherds welcome only angry hearts. The Good Shepherd welcomes the impulse of our heart's love. Some shepherds put themselves on a pedestal. The Good Shepherd allows himself to be raised up on the cross and raises self-giving love above everything on earth or in heaven. This is the Good Shepherd. And this is the prayer. And this is the obedience that God is asking of us. To not be like Darius, the prayer goes on. We don't throw would-be shepherds into the lion's den. It doesn't work that way in the kingdom of heaven. It works like this. Again, from the Agathist of Thanksgiving. No one but you can put together what has crumbled into dust. But you can heal those whose conscience has become twisted. You give the soul its former beauty, which long ago it had lost without a hope of change. With you, nothing is hopeless. You are love. You are the creator and the redeemer of all things. You are the creator and redeemer of all things. When the shepherds are confused and want us to do things that are not the will of God, when we are confused and go off and chase after shepherds who are not the Good Shepherd, we are not condemned. God is there to give our soul its former beauty. For with God, nothing is hopeless, because God is love and the creator and redeemer of all. And thanks be to God for the Good Shepherd who leads us
along right pathways, who makes us lie down in green pastures, who when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death is with us to guide us, to anoint us, to set a table before us, before our enemies, a table for us in the presence of our enemies. And then it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. It doesn't say follow us. Surely goodness and mercy, the good shepherd, will pursue us all the days of our life. All the way into a gulag will pursue us. And we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thanks be to God for the good shepherd.